And welcome to WPKN's Mic Check, which comes to you every Sunday at 5:30 p.m., just before the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. My name is Richard Hill, and today we're going to be focusing on a very interesting topic, the question of our water supply in Connecticut, and whether it is a private commodity or should be a public trust. And to have that conversation, we are joined by Judy Allen, who is a member of the steering committee with Save Our Water, a Connecticut-based environmental organization. Judy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. And to begin our conversation before we get into the topic of this issue of whether our water supply in Connecticut is under threat from private interests who want to turn a profit, why don't you say a word or two about Save Our Water and what its mission and a little bit about its history here in Connecticut.
Sure. Save Our Water came into being as a result of the Niagara water bottling plant moving into Bloomfield, Connecticut. We're a citizens group who organized quickly when Niagara came into town. It happened sort of overnight. We weren't aware that it was even in town until it was already a done deal. And so we quickly sounded the alarm, and actually Senator Beth Bayh helped us in introducing some legislation right away to try and at least slow down or regulate this water bottling plant. But the bill didn't pass. So this is a organization, or the bottling plant, is receiving discounts from our public water supply of up to 1.8 million gallons of water a day, get it at a discount, regardless of drought conditions. They put it in plastic bottles and ship it out of our state and out of our watershed for huge private corporate profits. So we have stayed in existence in an attempt to bring awareness to this issue and hopefully prevent other water bottling companies from taking hold here in Connecticut.
Before we get into actually talking about the public versus private ownership of water in Connecticut, can you just give us an overview of the sources of drinking water that's used either directly for human consumption or in the production of agriculture in Connecticut?
Sure. In Connecticut, our drinking water comes from rivers and streams, groundwater such as aquifers, wells, and springs, and surface water such as reservoirs that are impounded waters from the rivers and from some lakes and ponds. What's interesting is most people don't know where their water comes from. All drinking water in Connecticut is taken from Class A water bodies, which means that no sewage enters the water source. And Connecticut is only one of two states that have this requirement. So in agriculture in our state, in many cases, the water that's being used for agriculture is actually treated drinking water. There is a move to try and push agriculture to being able to use more gray water or recycled water or raw water, which is untreated drinking water. And even in industrial uses of agriculture of water in our state, in many cases that is our public drinking water that's being used.
Could you give us a breakdown of the private versus public ownership of water sources in Connecticut? I think a lot of people are confused about this. We kind of assume that water is a public thing and it's controlled by the state, and there isn't any money changing hands, you know, in terms of private corporations actually getting money for the water. But can you just give us a sense of how that breaks down in our state?
Sure. Actually, Connecticut has over 1,000 water companies. The vast majority of those are tiny, small water systems that provide water to about 25 people or more. Something like a condo association might have their own water company. And some water companies are municipally owned, run by a particular town or city. And of the larger water utilities, most of them are privately owned, and they've been that way for a while. Only two of the larger ones in Connecticut are publicly owned, and that's the Metropolitan District Commission, or the MDC, and the South Central Region Water Authority.
And what about the Regional Water Authority, which I I think services my region of Connecticut?
Yeah, it's a publicly owned and operated water utility. It is it has a charter from the state of Connecticut, which dictates what area it can sell water in, and some oversight into the rate structure.
So how many people are actually serviced by these larger, either completely private or public-private companies in Connecticut?
It varies a lot. The larger ones serve maybe 400,000 people, but then it can be all the way down to, you know, some of these little mom-and-pop kind of water companies. And South Central is another larger one, like serving over 400,000 people, I think.
I guess I was really referring to the large ones. Are they actually international or multinational companies?
No.
Okay.
No. The private companies, you know, I don't know that much about whether some of them are like Aquarian Water, and that may have a national presence. I'm not sure. Then there's the Connecticut Water Company, which is actually a privately owned water company. Interestingly, Aquarian was just acquired by Eversource. So that's another concern that we have, is what is happening to our water supply in terms of other utilities taking them over. Hmm. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Okay. Is there a trend toward more private ownership of water resources in Connecticut? I mean, has this been changing over the decades and sort of consolidating toward private ownership?
Yeah. One of the things that Connecticut water companies face is a aging infrastructure that is badly in need of repair or replacement, and that's very costly. And the sale of water has actually decreased over time, and that's because of population changes throughout the state. Industry has been moving out, and more of us are conserving water. So for the water companies, their only solution to that is to increase water rates in order to raise more revenue. But when they raise the rates, people tend to conserve or use less water, and so the water companies get less revenue, and then the company raises the rates. So this is just a never-ending cycle. So as a way to try and counteract this, some of the smaller publicly owned, like municipal-owned companies, are more and more seeking to be taken over by some sort of a private water company, and that's happening here in Connecticut. Some of these smaller ones are going to companies like Aquarian or the Connecticut Water Company and asking if they will take over their system because they can't afford to keep them running anymore. So some of these private water companies in Connecticut are slowly but surely getting larger.
Well, it's interesting you talk about this as really an infrastructure problem, and we know that United States is literally built on and at this point sinking into a crumbling infrastructure. And conversations about infrastructure are happening at the national level. We know that trillion-dollar projects are being tossed around and discussed, put forward by the 45th president of the United States, who shall go unmentioned here by name. But the conversation that we've heard has entailed a lot of reference to privatization of our infrastructure, or getting private corporations to purchase or run the infrastructure in our country. And I think it's interesting that we're seeing that play out here in this at the micro level, I guess you could say, at the state level, with our water infrastructure. That's a conversation which we can try to come back to a little later. But you've described this situation with Niagara, a national private water bottling company that glommed onto Bloomfield and sort of in the dark of night made a deal with the city government to start pumping water out. I think that was even happening during a water shortage crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, during a drought, water bottlers are not required to cut back on their use of water, even when residents are required to conserve.
That's an unbelievable factoid that you've just presented. By the way, we're speaking with Judy Allen, who is a member of the steering committee with Save Our Water, a Connecticut-based water protection and conservation organization. Why don't you tell us, Judy, what the website is there?
It's saveourwaterconnecticut.org.
Thank you for that, and we'll repeat it before the end of the show. New Haven Register, of all firebrand journalistic projects, put out a story on this issue of the Water Planning Council's report and the battle over language in that report to declare water as a public trust, thereby somehow protecting it or putting out a policy profile that would hopefully protect it against this trend toward privatization. Can you talk about the Water Planning Council's report, which numbered 616 pages, a little bit about the process of that report, about how it came about and what its purpose is, and how it might impact policy and legislation going forward?
Sure. The Water Planning Council was charged by the legislature to come up with a comprehensive plan for managing Connecticut's water. They wanted to make sure that into the future we had enough water for all our varied needs. And so it's been a two-year process. And you mentioned a 616-page document. There is a good 20-page executive summary, and that's at the Water Planning Council's website. So people can go read that and have a better understanding of what's actually in the plan. But some of the things that it did, or it does, it collected an enormous amount of scientific information that had never been collected in one place before. So it's information about all the water basins in Connecticut, what the stressors are, who's drawing water from the various sources. So it's really comprehensive. It identified the current state of the statutes in Connecticut and what regulations there are governing the use of water. And it highlights some of the challenges that Connecticut faces in the future, such as climate change's effects on our water resources. So it was really an amazing process, and I had an opportunity to sit in on many of the meetings. And there was a process of public input throughout the whole development process. And at the end, once the final plan had been drafted, there was a period of public comment that happened prior to the official vote of the Water Planning Council. And during that public comment, the number one public comment referenced water as a public trust and wanted this emphasized over private interests in the water plan. And out of nowhere, opposition to this it popped up. And the opposition came from three places. The Connecticut Water Works Association, which is an association of water utilities throughout the state, and they thought it shouldn't be there because they feared it would set a dangerous precedent about who owns the water with possible implications for state water utilities. There was also opposition from Republican Senators Fasano and Witkos for the same reason. And then opposition from the Department of Public Health, of all people, who opposed it because they felt the topic had never been fully discussed throughout the development of the plan and so should not now be included at the last minute. The decision was made to include that language as part of the water plan, the state water plan. And the reasons they gave were because there had been such an overwhelming public comment that it could not be ignored in the plan. And because the public health doctrine exists in state law right now, it's a statute. And by mentioning it in the plan, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the law. It doesn't set any precedences. Nothing changes. And the fact that it wasn't talked about, public trust of water has always been a basic assumption. We all believe that the waters of the state belong to the people of the state. And so as a fundamental upon which the water plan was developed, there was no really need for discussion about that. So it was passed. The language was passed. It now goes to the legislature, and it is first going to four committees, the Department of Public Health, the Public Health Committee on Public Health, the Committee on Energy and Technology, the Department on Environment, and the, I'm not going to come up with the last one here off the top of my head, and they will receive the plan and hold public hearings. So that's the next place where the public can have input and where there may be more opposition to the plan in its entirety because it includes that language.
I see. It could be where lobbyists will step back into the process and begin to exert their influence. So I think the things you mentioned are legislative committees in the House and in the Senate. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Where
yes.
hearings will be held.
They're joint committees, yeah.
Right, okay. And perhaps, I don't know if you have the dates of when those hearings might start, but the plan actually has yet to be presented to those committees. Is that right?
It was transmitted to them.
Okay. And I think
the dates haven't been set yet, but we expect it to be in the first week of March.
Yes, that they'll start looking at it and setting public hearings might occur then. Okay, very good. That's a good heads up. Just give us your sense, you know, as an activist on this issue, about the importance of that language remaining in this document. Like, what are the legislative and policy implications of that, given that, as you point out, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Connecticut residents are already serviced by private water companies?
Mm-hmm. I'll actually read your brief sentence that's in public law. It says, as a declaration of policy, it is hereby found and declared that there is a public trust in the air, water, and other natural resources of the state of Connecticut, and that each person is entitled to the protection, preservation, and enhancement of the same. That principle has been around since the beginning of our nation. It's used throughout the world. So it's not anything new or different. And it's been in existence and doesn't change anything. We think that the opposition comes about primarily from the water utilities because of the whole water bottling plant issue that arose with Niagara. There was such a public outcry, and part of that was the selling of drinking water to a bottling company, a private for-profit company. And that was not a good use of our public drinking water supply. By focusing on this public trust issue, I think they're afraid that can be used to challenge their ability to sell water to whoever they want to. That somehow the public would be able to challenge who they want to sell water to. And in fact, the public could, if the sale of that water in some way endangered the health of the waters of Connecticut. So we think that's where a lot of the opposition is coming from. The fact that they oppose the language is also of concern. Why is there, as I said, we were surprised. Why is there suddenly all this concern about the waters of Connecticut being a public trust? I know that the MDC, the Metropolitan Water District, which is where I get my water from, has been concerned about this because they say they own the water and they have a right to sell it to whoever they want to. And this would challenge their belief or their assertion that they own the water. So if we don't ensure that this remains a fundamental part of our plan, we risk having private interests use our water in ways that will not ensure the full use of our water for us and for generations to come, that could endanger the health of our water, that the water won't be available for the public health needs or even for recreational purposes and for environmental health. So this is a fundamental basis on which water planning happens and should be happening in our state.
Well, it begs the question as to what else needs to be put in place to actually prevent private concerns from pumping and exporting, bottling and exporting water from our state, even when our own state is in dire need of water. I mean, we've seen the example in Flint, Michigan, where the water was poisoned by directives really from the state government. And within miles from Flint, Michigan, Nestle Corporation, a global corporation, was pumping 200 gallons per minute out of an aquifer without really paying any money for that, bottling the water and selling it, you know, nationally and internationally.
Right
during this major water crisis. I mean, what else do we need to do in Connecticut to prevent this kind of abuse, this sort of high-handed corporate raider behavior from happening with our water supply?
We need to strengthen our laws and strengthen the public trust laws to make it explicit, even more explicit about what this means. States around the country, you know, are becoming more alarmed with the water bottling industry and are starting to enact legislation to protect their waters. Connecticut is ripe for water bottlers to come into our state because we don't have those protections in place. We have nothing that would regulate water bottling, nothing that would allow the public any oversight into how much water they're taking or whether by taking this water would it endanger future needs in our state. So we need to strengthen our laws and our regulations for more oversight.
So this document, which is now going to be presented to our committees in the House and Senate, joint committees, is a starting point, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it could be the basis and should be the basis for legislation and policy that further and more robustly protects the water in our state, however it may be defined, private or public.
That's absolutely right.
And so as we come down the stretch, we have 3 or 4 minutes. The organizations, the environmental organizations, the water protection organizations, citizens groups in Connecticut, are they proposing or beginning to look for sponsors for that kind of legislation that we could look forward to coming in the next year or two?
Yeah, we attempted this last legislative session to introduce bills that would have regulated this industry, and in the International Water Bottlers Association's lobby descended on the Capitol, and none of our bills were even given a public hearing. So there's strong resistance. I think one of the things with this plan coming, I think it's very important that this plan get passed. It may not be perfect, but it sets the groundwork for making decisions in the future. So I think it's really important that people start to ask questions about where does my water come from? Not just the name of the water company, but where is my water company getting that water from? How is my water managed? And I would encourage people to talk, write, call their representatives to support the passage of this plan, because it is important.
It's a basis for future, as we said, more strict control and regulation of commercial water interests in Connecticut. And so let's do that, folks. Let's actually get on the stick. And our state representatives are going to be reelected in 2018 or replaced. And this is an issue to raise. I think it's very critical and fantastic that you could so articulately lay out the history and trajectory of this problem. But Judy Allen, if you will permit me a word or two just about this whole issue of what I guess comes under the category of a neoliberal approach to our natural resources globally, where water is deemed a commodity which can be privately owned and sold for profit. And this problem is played out all around the world, you know, with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank making it a prerequisite for loans to third world countries that they privatize their utilities and their water supply. And this is presented and is presenting, continues to present large problems for the populations of the world. And as we pointed out with Nestle in Michigan and in other states, privatization of water is right on the agenda here. Neoliberalism is being implemented right here in our own economy, right here in our own society, and it's having an impact on our own population. So this is a problem where our own citizens can unite with the populations around the world who are being abused by these new ways of trying to make a profit from the natural resources that should be a human right and a public trust. So, Judy, thank you so much for explicating and illuminating this topic for us today. Judy Allen from Save the Water, she's a member of the steering committee. You can find information about their group at SaveTheWaterCT.org. Did I get that right?
You did. Thank you for raising the issue.
Not at all. And let's keep in touch, and we'll update it as needed.
Yes.
Great. And you've been listening to Mike Check here on WPKN. My name is Richard Hill. Thanks for listening.